Well, hello, wealthy women. Do I have a very special and so inspiring story to share with you today? I will soon pass the video over to Joanne. She is amazing. She's going to tell you all about her business, how she can help you, and then we're going to talk about a more creative side and what she's working on with that. So we have such a great interview ahead for you to see, to be inspired by, to reach out if you would love to work with Joanne. She's got amazing services that can really help you with your business. And so let's get this started. So Joanne, will you tell us a little bit about yourself, your business, where people can find you, and how you can help them?
Sure. Thank you for having me. My name's Joanne Fawcett. My business is still under Joanne Richards Bookkeeping. I have been a bookkeeper for over 40 years. I learned with paper and pen on, back in the day. And I love helping people crunch their numbers. I watched my parents pay their bills painstakingly, when I was young. And then when my dad died and my mom didn't have a clue on how to pay a bill, I go, "What's the matter? You guys paid bills together." "Oh no, I was only allowed to put the check in the envelope." So I had no clue that my mother didn't know a thing about money, and I helped her until she died paying her bills and get ready for taxes. And that's what I've done for a lot of my clients, especially women who find themselves, suddenly having to deal with their own finances because the husband is no longer in their life. And so that's one of my favorite kinds of clients is, helping women take control of their finances and show them where their numbers are. So that's been, but I help a variety of businesses. Therapists, massage people, consultants of any kind. One of my clients installs home stereo systems. So it's like I run the gamut of industries for the people that I help. And I work strictly from my home office in Portland, Oregon. I used to live in California, so a lot of my clients are still in California, but I even have a client in England. So, I can work pretty much for anybody. And that's what I love to do. So I just offer basic bookkeeping services from anything from, just doing your numbers and giving your tax people reports, all the way up to if you need me to bill your clients, I will do that. If you need me to, pay your bills, I will do that. I can help you just set up your QuickBooks. I can help you set up a simple budget. So I can do, what I am not is a CPA. I do have a 2-year degree in accounting, but I am not a CPA. I'm not going to do a lot of tax strategies. I will give you lots of tips on how you can help your bookkeeper so that you don't drive them crazy and it will keep you audit proof, because the CPA I work with the most, we really try and help our shared clients stay audit proof. And because that's just a nightmare and just drives people crazy, and it's very stressful. And we've both had some clients go through that, so we don't want that for our clients. So that's
Well, I
what
love
I
this,
do.
right? I love this because it is such an important thing to know your numbers. And I know, a lot of us women, we need a little help with that. We don't always know what to do and how, where to turn and where to get started. And I think that this is great, especially that you can do everything online with somebody. And it's a nice environment that you're creating that's very, welcoming to something that is not always such an easy process. So I love that. I know that there's many women that will benefit. So I will make sure that, we get that word out of what you can
Well,
do.
thank you. Thank you.
Now I wanted to talk to you. You have such a creative side when you think about numbers, and sometimes there is some dryness in the numbers, and
I
then wow, we're going to go on the other side of the pendulum here, and you are an amazingly creative person. So
Thank you.
tell us a little bit. We have a few minutes, but tell us a few things about your creative side, and then I want to get into these amazing success questions with you and share that with
Okay.
everybody.
I've been married 7 times, so that's not the creative side. But what I did with that after the first six, and most of them ended in divorce, one died, And then I was married to number seven, and I decided to start writing a book because a friend of mine years ago had said, you know, you need to write a book about your own story. I was out in the world speaking about my husband's military stuff, and that was all really fun and exciting. And this woman I didn't even know said, you need to write your own story. I was like, huh? I said,
And
okay.
it's a great book about the transformation and its self-discovery, right? So, I mean, how great is it to be an author and be able to put your words to pen? And then you're even considering to help possibly others to start their writing. Can you tell us a little bit about that? Will that be something?
Well, the first book's called Midlife Magic. And, you know, so yes, I go through the journey of being married six times and what I learned from each of those. I don't do it as a victim. And then number seven and how great he was until he wasn't, but we didn't go there in that book. And then how I changed my life. And I was drawn to the paranormal and fairies and magic and, you know, this new path that I'm on. So that's really cool. And it's kind of, you know, catapulted me. So now number seven and I are now divorced, but, and so the new book is about being in a relationship with a narcissist, which took me a long time to figure out that's what happened. And the pandemic happened and, you know, I had to start taking a look at, oh, you know, what's happening here and, you know, what's going wrong? There's something about the relationship that all of a sudden just doesn't seem right. And so I am now working on a book about surviving a narcissistic relationship. And I want to, again, I'm not sounding as a victim. I want to point out the examples of, you know, here's examples of what he would say. So, you know, here's a good proof that he was a narcissist. And I've been in therapy for that. And I'm doing the work and healing myself from all that. And so the point of the book is to help others recognize the narcissist in their life, whether it's a parent, a spouse, a sibling, a friend, or whatever, and how they can navigate through that, out of that, and heal from that. Because I've learned a lot of valuable lessons, you know, and I'm not 30 anymore. It's like I'm long past 30, but you know, I still have a lot of life left and a lot of living to do. And I'm making this my best life and writing this book and then going on to other types of stories and things I want to write. You know, it's like you can do it. It doesn't matter how old you are. You can change your life. You can make your life better and be the best life you want. So
I love this, Joanne, because it is also such an important subject for women. So you're basically able to help women on both sides. One, get your money story in order, fix your finances, know your numbers. This is empowerment for women when they can do this for themselves. And we all know, whether it was our parents or grandparents or even today, there's a lot still that women need to catch up with and learn and take ownership for. And so, yes, you're doing bookkeeping, but the idea of it behind that is to build your healthy relationship with your finances, get to know your numbers, own your situation, make plans for your future, put your things in order. And then I love how you go on the other side, which is such an important subject for women as well. So both things you do are such value. And the fact that you were able to write this book about your experience, you know, maybe a little, you know, very creative certain spots, but the main mission, what you're talking about here, is this idea of the narcissist. There are so many women that are dealing with this, don't even realize they're dealing with it. We hear this more and more now. When you hear something more and more, it's because it's an issue, it's a problem, and it needs to be addressed. And now we're jumping on it and we're bringing awareness to it. And you have written a book to shed the light on something that is a hiccup for many women and can either be a simple hiccup or a very horrible experience that their life gets so affected by it. I know personal friends that have gone through situations with narcissists and you don't know how to label it or call it or understand it because there's a lot of gaslighting and confusion that goes on. But I love the position that you took, that you're not coming from a victim mentality.
No.
You are going to be educating. So ladies, the reason I'm bringing this up is Joanne can not only help you get your numbers in order with your money, but she can help you recognize, you know, hopefully you're not having that experience. Maybe it's a friend of
Hopefully
yours.
not.
Yes, exactly. We don't want that. But it also, you know, just reading her book can prepare you to know how to avoid that potential situation. Recognize if you're in it. Recognize if someone you love is in it, and maybe use this book as a guide to help them. So what's the name of the book one more time so that they can the one coming up? Yeah.
The new book will be, I think, the working title is Escaping Narcissistic Abuse.
Okay. So yeah. This is important. So I love this. And like I said, this is such an inspiration that you are able as a woman to be very practical and grounded with something like bookkeeping, and also allow yourself the space to do whatever creative endeavor that you want. And Joanne, I love your philosophy. You have so much to give and go forward and live your best life. This is why we're here. So speaking of the
Sorry. I was just to say one thing you said about educating. It's like, I've always felt I'm supposed to be a teacher. So, I can either teach you about your numbers, because, like I said, several people have either come out of widowhood or divorce and they have no clue.
They don't know what to
And
do.
Now, it's like, I didn't know I was in a narcissist. I didn't know how to label that problem until I was walking in my neighborhood and saw the sign that for the person who became my therapist. It's like, oh, that's what it is. That's what this is. And so, I do want to teach people and help, because it's all a part of self-care. And because if you can't take care of yourself, you're never gonna heal. So
I love
and
it.
It's and not I, being selfish. So
no, self-love is self
we need to take care of
empowerment.
Ourselves.
Right. It absolutely, that's why we're here. This is, and it, it just speaks to my company, what it's all about. It takes many different forms, but the basic bottom line is love yourself, respect yourself. That means follow your dreams, get your numbers in order, take care of your health, take care of your relationships, grow your bank account, do the things that you enjoy. Success comes in so many forms, but
right.
ultimately it is self-reflection and self-care. And that'll line the path for you, and you learn as you go. But this, if this is your mantra that you prioritize yourself first, then you will be able to help the ones that are, you're wanting in your circle to help. So I
exactly.
love it. Perfect
Thank
start.
you.
And so again, just what is the websites, your bookkeeping and your new author site?
Well, the bookkeeping is Joanne Richards Bookkeeping. It's not a great website, but they can find me,
you know. Services are what count.
And you Google me and you can, find me. And my author page for the new book is Anna Tillman, because that's my pen name. So I have a new author page on Facebook for Anna Tillman. And
excellent.
Even the Midlife Magic has its own Facebook group for the first book. So
okay, perfect. I love it. Okay, let's get into our success
all
question.
right.
So here we go. If you could only choose one answer, what is the number one way that building your business has enriched your life? And why would you encourage other women to build their own business as a form of self-empowerment?
Okay, would you say that again? That doesn't sound like what I answered.
If you could only choose one answer, what is the number one way that building your business has enriched your life? And then why would you encourage other women to build their businesses?
Okay, well, building my business has enriched my life because it's given me independence. None of my husbands were great providers, but I've been in that. I was married to the last one for over 20 years and he's in prison. So there was no providing on his part. It was all my income, and I needed to do it. So I went from being an employee bookkeeper to going back to starting, being self-employed. And I just kept building that through referral marketing and good connections and things. So, I my reputation, I mean, number one, I'm a really good bookkeeper. And number two, I'm very referable. People like me, they trust me, they refer me. And I have over, 50 to 70 clients at any one time that I'm working on.
Wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, so I stay busy, I work hard, I get the work done, the tax people love me. But again, it all comes down to providing me the freedom that I want to, do some traveling or, do fun things with my grandkids. So,
Yes, I love it. And would you encourage other women to build their business basically for the whole sense of independence, really, and
yeah,
empowerment?
I would because and it's funny because my financial planner often does wealthy women and wine or something like that event, and it's always some financial topic that they're discussing. But he does this like ladder thing. It's like, what are your goals? What do you want if you had, all the money that you, it's like, and most of us are putting like freedom at the top or independence because, I've learned that I can't depend on other people for my financial well-being. And so I just make it my priority to be responsible on
I
that
love
and
it.
for myself. And, I'm using a skill that I'm really good at. Number crunching runs in my family. So I, learned that I was good at it and I've just stuck with it.
There you go. It's a good thing to be stuck with, I think. So, what is your favorite ritual for self-care and indulgence?
Oh, well, I get a massage every week, not every week. I get a massage every month.
Excellent.
I'm still doing my therapy and I take a lot of walks,
Love
for
that.
exercise, but also it gets me out in nature and it gets me connected with the energy of the nature and Mother Nature. And, full moons and new moons, I will do little rituals. I'll set my intentions. I've got my crystals, I've got my pendulum if I'm trying. I do a lot of woo and that's, works for me.
Woo works for this group. We get woo. We like
I
woo.
love woo. I love woo. And I really tap into my intuition. And, I'm not always happy with the answers because sometimes it's not what I want to hear, but I do get answers. And,
And you trust it.
that's what works for me. So,
I love
yeah.
it. Yep. I mean, I couldn't say that better about that self-care of massage and nature and walk and, meditation in some type of form. It doesn't mean you
Right.
have to sit on a mat, but just that you're re self-reflective and you're feeling your intuitions and asking and expecting to receive answers. And yeah, perfect.
I
Love
get
it. So
more answers on my walks than you would imagine.
yes, absolutely. I understand that because I'm a daily walker myself, so I get
Cool.
that. Do you believe that you can manifest your desires, and how have you maybe done this? Like, what is an example or a certain ritual you might do, whether it's affirmations, mantras, visualization, vision boards?
All of that. I do
Oh.
believe in manifesting. I do have a vision board above my mantle. And I do, I right now I'm part of a new moon journaling group, and I've been with them a few months now, and we meet, once a month right on or near the new moon, set intentions. We do a meditation. At one point she draws a tarot card. So it's really wonderful, but I'm really big on setting intentions and seeing what steps need to be done. Now, it's not perfect every month, but I do believe, and I keep journals. I like to write what I'm grateful for. So it's a combination of journaling, gratitude practice, creating little affirmations, things like that. It's all the combo, but
Yeah, I love
yes.
it. Yes, I love it. I think that's fantastic. And I think I wanted to ask you a little bit, being a bookkeeper, you're pretty much behind the scenes and papers and calculators and so forth. Yet you have this natural confidence that radiates on camera. And many women struggle with this. And so where is that coming from? Did you have to learn how to be confident on camera? And what would you suggest to someone who's feeling a little bit nervous about kind of getting started in that area, going live?
I'm a Leo. So I think that's part of it. It's not like I've been accused of being an attention seeker, but that's from somebody who doesn't like me. And so, I just don't let that bother me. But even when I was, I was doing some plays when I was younger in school. in choir, I got to sing a few solos. I was doing solos a lot when I was going to church. You know, I used to sing publicly through church avenues and things. So it didn't bother me. And when I was going to that church, you were often giving talks. And then when I was part of a referral networking group, you know, in regular, every week we had to give up and get up and do a little infomercial. And then every several weeks, you were giving a small, short talk about your business and how people could refer you. So,
you know, you have a lot of background experience.
I do.
So that's good.
I spent several years going internationally speaking about my ex-husband's military stuff. So it just didn't bother
how
me
would you
being on stage.
I love that. I mean, just a natural. That's just fantastic. So what would you maybe give advice then to maybe someone who isn't a natural and has to do their first, you know, Facebook Live? Is there anything you might say to them that could help them?
Have fun. Good luck. And, you know, there are people out there who can help you get over the fear. You know, it's like, one of my clients is an acupuncturist and a hypnotist, or, you know, he does hypnosis with his clients to get them either to get over the fear of something or to break habits. And even something like that can help you get over the fear of speaking publicly. There are also people who will help you ramp up your speaking presence if that's what you need. So there's lots of help out there.
There's lots of help. Yeah.
And I would think just, you know, just go for it. And if you know what you're talking about, just, you know, really dig into how you feel about what you're talking about.
Perfect. I love it. Yeah. I mean, really, like, I think the more important thing is that your message comes through, because your message is of service.
Right.
Typically. And so if you kind of forget about yourself and realize that you have a duty to serve, to share, then it becomes easier, because then it's not about you. It's about your message. Right.
Right. The service to others always comes through way better than service to self.
Oh, I love that. Wow. That could be your next book title.
I didn't coin that phrase, but I do like to use it.
So. Okay. Well, I like hearing it. That was a good one. I haven't heard it, but okay. My next question would be, it's a little bit similar, but not. Do you feel it is important to get out of your comfort zone, and what are the benefits? And is there something that you can share that you've done that was, you know, really kind of a little bit of a challenge and you went for it and you're happy that you did? Could be, you know.
Okay, writing a book was a challenge.
I was going to say,
writing a book was a huge challenge because, you know, and especially when COVID hit, so many people started writing books. So is my book a number one bestseller on Amazon? No. But has it sold many copies? Yes. So I'm really happy. And the people who have read it like it. So, okay, that's cool. And I think what was even scarier is, again, I used to speak internationally and in the United States about my ex-husband's military career relating to UFOs and aliens. So as bizarre as that sounds, it's like, and here, you know, I had never done that before. I went to England for the first time to speak to a huge group of people. And it's like, okay, you know, that was a huge challenge. Number one, I'm in England. I don't know these people. I've never given a talk on this topic. I've done a few radio shows about it, but I'm going for it. And, you know, not everybody believed me, but I didn't care. I believed in what I was speaking on. And so, you know, I'm up for a challenge.
I love that. I mean, and that just shows it's like, you know, you just went for it. You jumped, expected the net to appear. You probably also said, what's the worst that can happen? You know,
so they could boo me, you know, they could not buy any of the reports I was selling, you know?
I mean, really. And then life goes on and next
and
day,
I went back to that same conference like four times. So they liked me.
I love it. I love it. That's really good, because that's an actual, I mean, you flew a plane to get to another country to speak on a stage in front of people that didn't know you necessarily yet. And
I was not a big name on the UFO speaking circuit at that point.
That's huge. So I love that. That just shows you just go for it. I mean, you'll be proud of yourself no matter what the results are, because you pushed yourself. So I love it. Question for you. A lot of times, you know, we're focused on our business, we're in line, we have our tasks, we're getting it done. But every one of us has a day where like, oh, I'm just not motivated, or I just can't get out of my bad mood. When that happens to you, do you have a sort of go-to that you do for yourself that gets you back in action? Or do you just let it be and let yourself have the rest day if that's what you need?
Chocolate helps.
Chocolate, yes.
Chocolate helps. And sometimes I just need to get away from my desk and take some downtime, whether that's, okay, I'm going to do my guilty pleasure and read for a while, or I'm going to go take a walk. Usually, you know, taking a walk will change my energy. You know, and even days when it's like, I don't feel like taking my walk. I know I need to go walk. But then I get out there and it's like, oh, yeah, this is really cool. Oh, look, I noticed a tree's in bloom that wasn't in bloom yesterday. It's like, you know, I get out of my head and I connect with the nature, and that will really help. You know, or I'll just check in with my daughter and we'll have a little chat, and, you know, we can help each other that way. So, yeah, if I really have to, I'll just stop working and take a little downtime. I don't do that a lot, but sometimes you just have to.
Sorry. Right. Yeah. It's true. Sometimes I find, you know, there are those moments, like for me, I always say, definitely like a walk in nature or cooking. I love to be creative and cook. Or sometimes just tidying. The quickest one is tidy up a tiny spot in my house. And then all of a sudden I feel a little bit better. But yeah, but there are those days where I can just tell it's better for me to just, I'm not in it. It's just, I can't get there. And I find when I allow myself that rest, I actually come up with some pretty creative, better ideas that I would have never been able to have if I didn't allow that space to receive. So, you know, you got to trust your body. You got to trust your mind. Push when you can, but don't overdo it. Right.
And even with the new book, you know, there's, I'm to a section where it's the most, I call it the hard part, because I'm really getting into the nasty stuff he said as we were really splitting up and negotiating the splitting up. And so I had written, you know, the beginning, and I'd written part of the end, you know, the good, you know, okay, here's how it looking afterwards, but it's like, and so I had, you know, I'd spent hours going through the letters and gleaning out the stuff. And then it must have been, I don't know if it was after the most recent new moon journaling section, you know, one of my intentions is to really, you know, really keep writing and really dig in. And so not this past weekend, but the weekend before that, it's like, I just said, okay, today is a day where, and again, part of this is self-care, because I love doing the writing, but I knew I was at a hard part. And I said, I'm just going to schedule it on my calendar. And so that's self-care. But then I scheduled what I thought would maybe be a half an hour. It was 3 hours of writing. It's like, ooh.
Got lost in it, right?
I did. Absolutely. I loved it. Yeah. And I was going to do the same thing the next day. That didn't happen, but okay. But it's like, okay, I can do this. And it feels really good when I get it done or make
I
more
love
progress.
This.
Yeah.
I love this. And I'm wondering, because you call it the hard part, but maybe it is the biggest growth part, right? That happened.
Yeah.
So maybe even renaming it.
Thank you.
Biggest
that's,
growth part. That way it feels like, because I'll do this like with coaching, you know, I'll try and listen and catch some certain things. And it's heavy when you say, oh, this is that tough part. And your body doesn't get the difference. You know, it'll just be like, oh, tough, avoid, you know. But if maybe you even like use that word, this is for anybody.
I do like that. Yeah.
Because this is, we typically do this. Oh, we, you know, we have this, and believe it or not, words are so powerful that even just switching the word to this is my biggest growth part changes the energy, right? And then you're like, let me share it and pour it out, rather than this is the hard part. So little things. I mean,
no, I like that. Yeah.
And it is a hard
what's
part.
What's funny though, what's funny now is, because now I can, you know, now it's not painful, and now I can look at it and I'm almost laughing, especially when I'm talking to other friends.
Yeah.
You know, it's like for years I had this image, because this is the way the guy wanted me to think about him. And it's like, now I'm talking to other friends who know him. It's like, yeah, it's like, you know, it's like, And
We didn't
you know,
see it the way you saw it.
They didn't, they saw it differently and they saw him mistreating me. And now we're looking at, it's like what he said, this stuff, but it's like now none of it is true. You know, he wanted us to all believe this stuff about him, like, oh, I've got all this money. And it's like, well, why am I paying for everything then? You know, it's like, and things are kind of unraveling for him, but it's
Right.
like, oh, okay. I didn't recognize it for the longest time. And look, he's now not saying it to that person because I've already warned her, you
Yeah.
know, at the other trustee that I'm trying to help. Or it's like, it just, it's like, so now I'm kind of laughing and saying, okay, well, I really am coming out.
When you're on the other
In
side
a
of it.
good
Yeah,
way.
it's so funny how that can happen, because you really do have this whole idea of whatever it might be. And sometimes you cannot see the forest through the trees, I think, right? Until you're on the other side of it. And then when you hear, you know, people in your circle, like, we saw it, you didn't see it. And you're like, really? But it doesn't come off like to feel bad. You feel actually more validated, like, okay, then I'm not crazy or something, and I have other people on my side. So yes, I am on the right path now. So yeah, I love that you just said that, because
Thank
it's
you.
true and it can relate to anything. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be a subject of narcissism and a romance or anything like that. It really can be across the board. Sometimes we just get it into our head that things are a certain way and we tend to have tunnel vision. This can help us sometimes, and sometimes it can hinder us. And you know, you're meant to go through the process as it evolves. You grow and you learn, and then you get, like you said, to the other side, and it's like, wow, I see it now too, and I didn't see it before. So,
Yeah, and I can apply that to my bookkeeping clients, because, you know, for the longest time, okay, it's like I'm having to retrain them. It's like, we do not commingle the personal and the business. And look at how much easier it is when we're not doing that. And look at how much more audit proof or, you know, bulletproof you are when we don't do that, because then they're not going to look at your personal stuff.
Yes, exactly. I love this. It's so true. It's across the board, right? So,
exactly.
Okay, I guess I have two more questions for you. So, what would you change about your business journey if you could go back in time, or maybe wouldn't change anything?
That's a good question. I mean, I definitely like being my own boss, and I like having it done a certain way and the right way. I probably, if I could have changed something, I might have had a different model where I could have included maybe other bookkeepers working with me or whatever, so that I wasn't feeling so overwhelmed at certain times of the year. Because, you know, you get to a point, especially at the end of the year, when now you're
crunch time.
Dealing with all your independent contractors and all these things, these little documents called 1099s. And, you know, my billing in January is phenomenal because I work a lot of hours.
Yes. Yeah. That's,
Excuse me.
that,
But
that
so
is crunch time.
I might have taken the leap of faith and built a team. I didn't do that. And now, you know, if I have too much work, I'll just say, here, let me refer you to this person.
Yes. I understand what you're saying. And that's an important thing that you mentioned too, because a lot of women have this trouble while building their business. One, they feel like they should do everything, that it's too much for them to hire help, but it isn't. That's self-love, self-care, self-respect.
Yeah. And
And the other
delegation
thing
is
is,
good.
Yeah. And exactly. And the other thing is, you know, this whole idea of, you know, the fact that only I know what to do. I better do it, because what if something goes wrong? And that is, I can get that. I understand that. However, if you are the person training the people to do the business your way, you will know if they are doing the business the way you prefer, and you can, you know, correct along the way. Right.
And I did have a good experience with one person who had just come out of school. And so she was kind of like an intern with me, and she was working out very well. And then she got hired with another bookkeeping firm. So she would have gotten more, it would have been more full time for her, because I could only offer her part-time work. So I can see the benefit. I just didn't pursue that.
Yes.
You
That's
know.
Okay. You still did it all perfectly.
I
So
did, but I do encourage people to delegate, especially if you're the business owner, grow your business, hire a bookkeeper.
Right. I agree. I absolutely agree. That's why we're here. I
Yeah.
want other women to know they don't have to do their own taxes or bookkeeping
No.
services, especially when, the majority of people are not really wanting to do that, nor do they pretty much probably know what to do or how to do it properly. So this is one of those things that may be the first thing I would always suggest. Hire someone who knows what they're doing and get
Right.
rid of that stress for yourself. And then just slow. I found that people, when they do certain things a little bit at a time, they'll start to feel more relaxed with paying for
Right.
services that free
Right.
up their time, free them away from things they don't enjoy doing. I mean,
Right.
make your business happy. It's
That's
your
right.
baby. So
That's right.
delegate the stuff you don't like or don't know how to do. It's worth the money, right?
I
It's worth
hire
it's an
somebody to do
investment.
my filing.
Yeah, there you go. I
I
mean,
generate a
and
lot of paper.
right. And it could even be something related to the house. Maybe someone hates house cleaning and they don't want to waste like 3 hours a week on that. So hire someone and you have 3 hours
Exactly.
now to put into your business, right?
That's
It's
right.
worth it. It's worth
That
it. Time
it
is money. Time
is.
matters.
Exactly.
Time matters more than money. So it's worth spending money to get time.
Exactly.
Okay, last question. And this is interesting because, again, you're kind of on both sides of this. So, do you agree that mindset is more important than systems and strategies, and why? Or do you think they're both or the opposite? What's your thoughts on that?
I think they're both important because you do need to have some systems in place. Clearly, accounting, bookkeeping is an industry of systems, but I am huge on mindset, and I always tend to think on the positive side of mindset. I'm going to affirm and try and manifest the heck out of what I want. Now,
Love it.
maybe, but I also trust that it's going to come when the time is right, when the universe says it's time. But I'm all about mindset. I'm all about, I know I'm good at what I do. I know I can grow my business. And yes, there's some logistical steps you have to follow along the way. But I think if your mind is in it, and instead of saying, oh, I can't do that, or it's going to cost me this much to get this far, it's like if you think of it as drudgery to grow your business, just go be somebody's employee.
Yeah,
If you
absolutely.
really, if you really want to grow your business and be successful, imagine what it's going to be like 5 years out when it's really successful, and 10 years out when it's even more successful, and you can take that 4 week vacation.
Absolutely. And we already said that even there, if there are some things in your business that you don't like, that's okay. Give them to somebody else who does it well, and you don't have to deal with
Exactly.
it.
That's
That's
right.
what whole thing about delegating, hiring VAs or hiring a team. It
Right.
doesn't have to be gigantic. Oh, I have to hire an employee. No, hire a VA for a couple hours. Hire
Right.
someone to clean your house. Hire someone, like you said, to file your files, right? So,
That's right.
I love this interview so much because you are like the best of both worlds. You are both left brain and right brain. You are both creative and constructed or whatever you want to call it, but
Structured.
yes, structured. Thank you. I get it. That's what I
That I
meant to
am, yes.
say. But I love this because it just shows you that you can actually have any of your desires come to be if you just follow your, feelings and go forward with them. There's nothing to lose. There's only growth that can happen.
Right.
And you're going to make yourself happy along the way by making sure that you're paying attention to who you are, what you want, what you desire. So before we close out, can you just once again share your website that people
Sure.
can find you? And I just want to say thank you so much in advance for such a beautiful
Well,
interview.
thank you.
Really.
Thank you. Oh, thank
Yes.
you for the opportunity. The bookkeeping website is joannrichardsbookkeeping.com. And there's two O's, two K's, two E's in bookkeeping. My first book is under Dragon Hill Books Publishing, basically, and it's dragonhillbooks.net, if you want to see my first book. And my author page for the new book I'm working on is Anna Tillman on Facebook. Anna
I
Tillman
love
author.
it.
Yeah. So
I
thank
love
you.
it. I love it.
Thank
Well,
you.
thank you everybody for tuning in and watching this inspirational interview. I mean, this just there's so many things to take away, so watch it again and again, and please reach out to Joanne. She can help you And I just really want to say thank you again. This has been fabulous. And
This has been a great way to start the day.
Excellent. Excellent. All right, wealthy women, this is another episode of Success Stories. I will see you next week, and I wish you all of the wealth in the world. And that is to be however wealth means to you. Just go for your dreams and see.